Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
You're listening to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast, your gateway to the wonderful world of archery and bow hunting. The Bow Hunter Planet podcast would like to thank our outdoor partners for their support. It's because of these companies we can keep this show educating, entertaining, and growing the archery heritage. Please check out these partners' links in the description of this podcast. Now, your hosts, Tim and Dave. Enjoy the show.
Guys, welcome to the Bow Hunter Planet podcast. Tonight we got our special friend PJ Riley from Lancaster Archery. Lancaster being huge online store. And last time you're on the show, PJ, you told us about the amount of SKUs you guys had, which is absolutely astronomical. But it's pretty cool. And I would ask you the question, how is it going from a sales perspective, in the sense that, is it hard to even keep things in stock right now for you guys?
I'll say yes and no. Some manufacturers have been very good with their manufacturing process. They've been keeping up, and we've been able to keep it coming. Other manufacturers, you know, we get hit with a wave of stuff, and then there's a gap before we get some things a second time. And then some manufacturers that we just are having issues getting stuff from. Well, they're having issues building stuff. You know, the supply chain is what it is, you know. So it's a mix, yes and no. But what I can tell you is, if you're a company and you're able to produce your stuff, you're going to sell it.
Yeah.
That's good news. Crazy. That's good news. And you know, that trend's been kind of going here for a little while, and I don't see any stop coming. Do you?
No, there's not stuff sitting around, that is for sure. There's no, you know, we're not getting stuff and being like, oh man, we're not selling these things. No, if we have it, we're selling it.
That's amazing.
And no, and the answer to your question, no, I mean for us, we've been seeing this for over a year.
Wow.
And it just seems to keep going. Every time we think, okay, let's have a pause to catch our breath here. Nope. It just keeps going.
I mean, I feel like I'm seeing it more as well. And, you know, I know, you know, when we do like the gear reviews, you guys do gear reviews, but I'm seeing it in the comments a lot more. There's a lot more people asking for detailed questions on products. And there actually is a lot more response, in the sense that, hey, you know, can I get this in a different color, or how does this work on the bow? And, you know, but it used to not be that way. So I'm almost feeling like there's a new crowd of people coming into archery that's growing. And now you're starting to see like all these people like learning and, you know, you go on Amazon, like simple stuff, like Amazon, you know, like cheap Chinese bows, right? They're still selling like crazy. I'm like, what the hell is going on here?
Well, here we're coming up on the first week of November, right? So we're in the middle of hunting season. You figure people have their hunting stuff now. That PSE Carbon Levitate just came out last week. That's a $2,000 bow. In a week, we've already sold four, I think. You know, it's pro shop only, so it's not online. So I think we've already sold four in a week.
That's good. That's great.
It just came out. That's insane.
It just came out. So, yeah, but to your point about people getting into it, we are seeing that. Here this past summer, I don't know if you follow college wrestling or MMA stuff, but Bo Nickel was a three-time Penn State national champion wrestler, and now he's into MMA. And he came in. He just got his dad was a hunter, and they met some other friends who were into archery, and so he wanted to get into bow hunting. He came down to the shop, you know, and we set him up and stuff, and he's going hardcore. He was just texting me today about different bows and stuff like that. He already has one. He got a Matthews V3, but, I mean, there's a guy who is – you know, early 20s, never bow hunted before, and now he's just getting into it. So we're seeing that all over the place.
Yeah, it's interesting you brought that up, because we actually had Corey Overtime Anderson on the show, and he's an MMA fighter, and so he shoots a PSE, and he was on, he did some stuff with, I think, Dudley at Total Archery Challenge or something like that. But anyway, so he was on the show, really great guy. And I was like, you know, I really want to support this guy. Like, I really like the fact that he's taking a different sport and in engaging archery into that. Like when you watch his preview, you see him shooting a bow and stuff like in the fight. I'm like, wow,
nice. These
people are seeing a bow that never would see it before. So I actually bought Showtime to watch the fight. He was just in a fight, like I think last 2 weeks ago. So I posted on Instagram, like, you know, support, you know, fellow archers who hunt, you know, go get Showtime, watch the fight, you know. But yeah, I never watch MMA because I just never have. And to be honest, now I'm like kind of like can't wait for the next fight. Like I'm like, that was so exciting. I found myself running up and down the house screaming when he won. Cause I was like, yeah.
Yeah, it's definitely cool to see. And just now with social media, you know, these types of people were probably getting into bow hunting all along, but with social media, you didn't know it. And now we do, we can see who's into it, you know, what they're into. And so, yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah. We've been talking about that a lot lately, which is that crossover, right? There's a lot of crossover into other sports. Now, MMA is not one that you would expect, right? I mean, fishing, hunting, you know, all that kind of stuff, you kind of think, but it's great to see good representation from other guys that are in sports into the hunting industry to carry that next generation into the tradition, which, you know, we're seeing it's very surprising, very hopeful for me to see all the new archers come in, because there's been years and years and years where we've seen a dwindling population of hunters, and to see that kind of turn around, thank you COVID for that, and to see that kind of turn around and have more and more people come into the sport makes it more exciting for everybody, including us.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we love seeing, you know, hey, we love our customers that we've had for 25 years and, you know, as well as the ones who are coming in for the first time. That's all great. All good stuff.
No doubt.
I'll tell you one thing.
How do you guys keep up with all the new products launching? How do you, like, do you guys have a system in place to decide, like, what you're going to buy and sell on your site and all that kind of stuff? How does that work?
So I'm going to throw out a name to you, this guy, Steve Yoder. He is our VP of purchasing. And if you're in the industry, you probably never heard the name Steve Yoder before, but if you're in the industry, you know who Steve Yoder is. He knows everything. He knows every product that's out. He knows every product that's coming out. He is just this guy who is connected everywhere. And he's got a team of buyers with him, Jerry White, Jason Homan, his brother, Eric Yoder. And these guys just, you know, they work for us full time and they just know everything that's coming out. And it's, I mean, we're also fortunate at Lancaster Archery that manufacturers know who we are, so they want to get their stuff to us. So when they have something coming out, you know, they make sure they notify us as well. But our guys, man, they're on it every day, finding out what's out there, what can I get, where can I get it.
I love it. I love it. They have a lot of fun with doing that with all the new stuff coming out as well. You know, all the new launches. Yeah.
There's the ATA show coming up in January. I'll say our guys will be there, and they will see every single booth that is in that building. They will. We have a team of like 6 or 7 guys who go through, and they will walk. They will be at every single booth just to check that out.
Awesome.
You know, and great. Which is you know, you got to do that because you never know what's out there that they found stuff. I'm drawing a blank on some examples, but they have found stuff at ATA that you probably wouldn't have heard of. And they were like, hey, this is really good product. We're going to carry that. And then boom, we started carrying it and put it on the map. There was a shot trainer. Oh, this is going to kill me. I forget the guy's name. He's from Oklahoma. But he had a special shot trainer that he came out with that was unique. And we saw it there and we're like, that's really ingenious. Not the AccuDraw, although we do work with them. It's
this I feel like I know me. This.
The Bowflex?
It's a handle. It's a handle. And then it has basically like a paracord.
Stretch
your draw length. But the handle swivels. So it mimics torque. Will show you if you're torquing. And the guy's going to kill me. His name's Christopher Avance. I know that.
I think that might be the next TikTok craze, the torquing videos.
Yeah. So here was this great product that we picked up and started talking about, and now it's very popular, especially in the target world. It's a good shot trainer. So yeah, that's stuff awesome. Like that at ATA, you don't know that they're even with our guys as well connected as they are. There's stuff they find there that they're like, hey, this is really cool. We should be on that.
Yeah, I always loved walking through that innovator section that they have, where it's kind of off the wall kind of things that are you know, small companies trying to make it big, trying to get their ideas out there. There's been some pretty good stuff that I've seen out there. So that's awesome that you guys are working those booths and taking a look at everything coming out.
War Torn Archery. That's the name of the company that
makes it. I was trying to find it for you.
War Torn Archery.
Awesome.
That's it.
I was searching online, Torque.
Yeah, it's good because, you know, in the shop, one of probably the most common issue that we see with archers is they're just giving it the death grip. And so they have torquing issues. We work with a lot of show them different grips on how to prevent that. And I mean, here's a product where you can see your results if you're doing things like that. So, I mean, here's a product to fix one of the most common problems. Hey, how can you go wrong there?
Yeah. What a great tool for dealers too. Those that have ranges that run leagues and all that kind of stuff that teach people how to hunt. What a great product for even them. That's awesome, man. I love that kind of stuff.
So this, I talked to Jake must have been last year from Cobra, and you know, they came on support of the show, and I see they're just on your show. And I mean, what a great set of products though, right? Like, I mean, Cobra, they've come such a long way from what they used to be. In fact, he was just on the show about a month ago, I think, right, Tim? About 4 weeks ago, maybe?
Yeah, maybe even less than that, but yeah.
I had found an old Cobra, like, stabilizer from, like, years ago with the old logo. It was hilarious. I'm like, so is this what you're showing? Is this what you're selling? It's like that old-fashioned black.
Like, no, that was way before it was just like a sticker on the side of a stabilizer, too.
Yeah,
it was like their logo. Cobra. It was great.
So that Cobra brand, that was a household name, you know, 15 years ago. And then it kind of just started going down, and Jake Major comes in. I mean, that guy, is there a greater person in there? You know, there's lots of great people in archery, but Jake Major, he's just an awesome guy. Came in, bought it. He wanted to revive the brand. He's been doing that. I mean, he's just been killing it. Every year he's got new stuff, cool stuff. You know, he's just brought Cobra back to relevance where it may have gone away, you know, if not for him.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Not only that, like, I mean, just the thought of, like, you know, getting on your show, getting on our show, getting the word spread out there, supporting this podcast, right? I mean, things like that. Like, he realized, like, all right, I got to get all these things going and get this thing rolling. And that's, you got to love that initiative, you know, because he could have just redid it, but then didn't reach out and start promoting it the correct way.
Yep.
And then you get nothing from it, right? But when I was blown away by the releases, to be honest, having that like small stem and then the roller system where you just push it and it clamp. I mean, it was such a cool thing for us. And I mean, obviously you yourself have shot tons of releases over the years, and I have as well. And I was just blown away by the design. I was like, I can't believe he can make something different than what everybody else already had. You know,
he is. Cool. You look at it and you think, oh, okay, this is just another wrist strap release. But it's not. He has been trying to do things a different way with bow hunters in mind. You know, hey, how can I take the wrist strap release and make it better? And that's what he does. And he just does a really good job at it. He's we're glad to work. Anytime we get to work with Jake, it's awesome.
Where do you see the one of the markets that's, you know, crossbows have been pretty big for years, and then, you know, they came into play, then they got huge because everybody wanted one. And then I feel like they've definitely slowed down. A lot of brands have decided to create a crossbow. They're all great crossbows. You know, and then Raven came out with this 500, and, you know, we're seeing the speeds of the Axe 440. So we're between now 400 and 500, I feel like. What's your thoughts on that? Like, how much further is this going to go, and can it go any further in your opinion?
I'm talking to some of the manufacturers. It seems like the thinking now, you know, you never know if they're going to come up with some new advancement, but their thinking that I have heard is that 500 is kind of the peak. That's the top of the mountain. So it seems like the 400 to 500 range, that's probably where you're going to see it, with a couple trying to hit that 500. Mm-hmm. But it's, from what it sounds like, it's 500. And so one of the issues that we are seeing this year with these high speed crossbows, because they are under a tremendous load, even when they're not cocked, is that all these manufacturers, people don't realize this, but they will tell you, replace these strings and cables every year to a year and a half, or like 200 shots. And it's what they say is whichever comes first.
Yeah.
So people think they buy a crossbow and they're like, oh, I can keep these strings on for 4 years. Well, this year, for some reason, we've seen many crossbows blow up, because the strings were several years old. We've been telling customers, like, hey, I know it seems like it's excessive, but replace that stuff every year. There's just so much pressure that they're under.
I've heard manufacturers come out and start taking that tone as well. You know, I have some buddies that shoot some of the higher end crossbows, and their experience has been right around that 2 year. And thankfully, a lot of the higher end crossbows that are under that kind of tension, a lot of them, I mean, they're all under tension, but some of those really high speed ones come with lifetime warranties, thankfully, because yes. I had a buddy who broke a string and had to send his bow in because it got a little messed up when that string broke and stuff like that, which was great, but you still don't want that to happen. That preventative maintenance is huge. And if you can spend a couple dollars now to make sure that you have a crossbow for your hunting season for those 3 or 4 months that you're going to need it, you don't want your bow to be in the shop waiting for you to hunt.
No, for sure. And what happened was we ordered extra sets of strings and cables this year, and we ran out because the demand was, I mean, and we ordered based on expecting a high demand, and the demand was actually even higher because we had so many people come in who had problems.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
What's your thoughts on that? What's your thoughts on that? So you have, obviously we have the compound crossbow market, then we got like the Excalibur recurve style. Do you guys think the same for that since it's one string, or do you guys recommend like every 2 years for that, or still every year for that one?
I have not checked what, you know, Barnett, they're one of the ones who are very common with the recurve crossbows, but I actually haven't checked to see what they say. I know their strings are really beefy. So you take a look at some of those cables on some of the newer crossbows, Ravens or whatever, and those cables are kind of thin. If you look at an Excalibur string just on a recurve, man, there's a lot of strands in that. And that center serving is thick and beefy. So I would imagine they're able to go a little bit longer than some of the others. And of course, you know, they're not under that same high tension.
You definitely want to make sure that you still wax them though. Absolutely.
Right.
You
know, sure.
And all that stuff. And I, the beauty part about the Excalibur side of it anyway, is that if it does break, you can replace that yourself, which is good.
Yeah.
There's, you know, you can buy the gadget that helps you pull the limbs up so you can fit the string back on there, and it works great. So, but great point on that. I mean, you're making a big investment, and these are big investments now.
Oh yeah.
And you can get into crossbows really cheap, but you can get into crossbows more expensive than most guns that you want.
Oh yeah.
Nowadays. Yeah. So if you're going to make that kind of investment, make the investment, make sure you're going to take care of it. That's a great
point. Yeah, definitely.
What about speed on compounds? What are you thinking there?
So the speed on compounds. So I end up testing a lot of those, and I there's the IBO speed rating, and you know, if you're shooting the average hunting arrow, you're just not hitting those speeds that the IBO speed rating comes up with. At least I've never been able to do that with a decent hunting arrow. If I can get in the I'm 29 and a half inch draw. I generally shoot 70 pounds for hunting. If I can get in the 280s, high 280s, low 290s, I'm happy with that. I know there's over 300, but it seems to me, I still think like 300 is about the benchmark for that. And if I'm 280s, 290s, I'm fine with that. That's plenty good. It seems to me once you start getting into those super high speeds, you're having to do something that may potentially make the bow less forgiving. I'm not going to say less accurate, because you know, you put one of those super high speed bows in the hands of Levi Morgan, I bet you drive tacks with it. But you give it to me, you know, 6-inch brace height, super radical cam, you know, not a lot of let off to everything you do to build speed, I might not do so well with it in trying to maintain those high speeds.
Yeah.
So
and speaking of like accessories real quick, because I noticed on the website you guys have the Oracle 2 right on the front page right now. So I guess how is that part of the business going? So like the tech slash, you know, archery stuff like that,
crazy.
Like an Oracle.
Crazy. Yeah. Those things, you know, if we can get them in, we sell them. Garmin, wow. Zero, same thing. All that stuff. It's there are definitely more people, I would say now, who are interested in that type of stuff than there used to be. Used to be, you know, something like that comes out and people are like, nah, I'm good with my 5-pin, you know, spot hog. I'm good with that. But now, no, we are seeing people coming in. They're like, yep, range finding sight. I want that.
Yeah.
I want that.
It's hot, right?
Yeah. Hey, you know, it's one of those things where in the right situation, yeah, boy, that can save you. You know, it may not be for everybody. They are kind of heavy, you know, so there's a give and take with all this stuff.
Yeah, I've been waiting. So I'm traditionally a crossbow guy. So I've been waiting for years. You know, I've seen the Burris come out, the Garmin come out. Where is my scope for my crossbow? And now they're finally coming out with that stuff. And it is cool to see. You know, for me, it's just the reason why I love that kind of combination between tech and bows and all that kind of stuff is, for me, it's one more thing that I don't have to forget. I don't have to forget my rangefinder at home.
For sure.
It's all sitting there waiting for me. And it just makes it that much easier to be able to get out and hunt quickly, especially if you're that weekend hunter, right? Where you're just kind of packing up for the weekend. You might only go out one or two times a year. It's right there ready to go. And, you know, it just makes a lot of sense, I think, for a lot of people. Sure. But you're right. It's not for everybody.
I got to play with that the new 10 point last year with the Garmin sight on that they had with the range finding trigger basically built into the stock. And I mean, that thing was unbelievable. You know, I just sat at a bench and I was on our archery club's practice range, and I just sat there, you know, hit it 60 yards, gave me a dot, boom, centered. Come back 35 yards, hit the thing, gave me a dot, shot it. I mean, it was, there's no denying that it was impressive what it could do.
It would have saved me this last weekend. I had a quick shot on a doe, came in really fast, was moving, you know, decent, stopped for just a second. Thought I knew where it was at in relation to what I had already ranged out. Didn't have time to range it. Pulled the trigger, it shot low. We weren't able to recover it, unfortunately.
Oh gosh.
But in that situation, that little tap of the button would have been great. And I went back after, right? And I ranged exactly where it was. And it was three yards short of where I thought I was shooting it at. So it makes a big difference.
Border.
Yeah.
That's like the five yard border right there, three.
no doubt.
So I'm in Pennsylvania, where, you know, we are one of the top states for number of hunters, and we had been going down, and actually we still are going down in number of hunters, but our number of bow hunters, you have to buy a separate license to be a bow hunter, that has been trending up. And last year, I mean 2020, we licensed the most bow hunters that we ever have, even more than back in the 80s and 90s, you know, which people think of the heyday of bow hunters. But we licensed more last year, and I talked to the PR guy for our game commission, and he's expecting us to pass it again even this year. Now, a lot of that, I'm sure, is crossbows, because we're seeing a lot of those. And, you know, there's always the big debate, crossbows, not crossbows. Hey, it's legal in Pennsylvania. In Pennsylvania, a crossbow is the same as a compound bow, is the same as a recurve bow, is the same as a longbow. It is what it is. So, hey, if it's getting people out there and they're getting out and hunting and, you know, going to bow shops, et cetera, we're all for it.
Yeah, we're the same way in Michigan as well. Same season for crossbows and all archery for our season that opens up. And I say the same thing, you know, if it's a legal take, why? I mean, we're just trying to get people out there. One of the other things that I do say a lot is, if you haven't shot a crossbow in a real world situation when you're hunting, I think you're missing out or not getting the point as to how hard it can be. The hunt is just as hard. I mean, I'm not shooting 60, so 70 deer. Yards, you know, I'm shooting this deer was, I thought it was at 29. It ended up being at 32 or 33 it ended up being at 32 or 33. And it is what it is. I mean, you can miss fairly easy, even with the crossbow, no matter what your setup is. So.
Yeah. They're incredibly, they're way more accurate now, obviously, than they were. I hunted with a crossbow back when Ohio was like the only state that allowed able-bodied people to hunt with a crossbow. And I shot a buck there, just, you know, I want to see what it was all about. And so, yeah, the crossbows now are way more advanced than that thing I was hunting with back then.
I see.
But it's still not simple. I'll take mine out in winter, you know, in the very late season. And I've taken it out the last two seasons, and I haven't been able to shoot anything. So
yeah,
it didn't help me.
Yeah, I kind of played as a mix. Yeah. I mix it up. So like the other day, I was hunting with the compound for the first day and a half, and then the last day it was going to rain. I'm like, I think I'll take the crossbow, and you know, just a little easier, and see what happens, right? And then you know, nothing happened, so it didn't matter. But it was fun just swapping it up, you know.
Yeah,
for fun.
But, if I'm to prefer, I prefer my vertical bow, but that's just me. But I got, you know, crossbow. Yeah, I got nothing against them.
For sure. For sure. So in Pennsylvania, are you similar to Michigan where you have a longer period of use for archery than you do for gun?
Yeah, we have now the last 2 years, we got an extra week of bow hunting. So now we are at 7 weeks. This is generally across the state. There's some special suburban areas that are different, but generally the season now is 7 weeks for archery, 2 weeks for gun.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, and to be honest with you, I think that's a little bit of why we've seen some more people come into archery is because when you have that long season, you're able to get out more or have more opportunity to get out. So when you want to get outdoors, you know, for me, my day job, my regular job, I'm working at home all day. Right. So on the weekends and that kind of thing, I want to get the heck out of here. So I think, you know, it gets that drive to get people to do it. And when you have that long season, that really helps make that decision as to what direction you're going to go. So
for sure. There was a time when I started bow hunting. Bow hunting was only the month of October. So it was 4 weeks. That was all you got. And then there was 2 weeks of gun, you know, and end of November. So then it was, you know, people kind of picked, if I got to pick between one or the other, I'm going to camp for the first week of gun season.
Right.
We don't really see people do that with gun season anymore. You might see them go a day or two. So people are hitting. I'm going to go hunting this day, this day. So now if they want to add time, okay, I can go a weekend in October. I can go bow hunting. I'll still do my 1 or 2 days of gun hunting. So it just gives you more options. And having the crossbows, you know, let's be honest, that does make it simpler to be able to go out during an archery season. It takes more to be proficient with a compound recurve longbow. It just does. Yeah.
And if you're blessed enough to have a local property and you buy one of the cell phone cameras that you guys offer on your website, you might see in the morning that big buck's running around and might make that decision to head out
a little bit
earlier. So
for sure. Yeah. Yeah, definitely.
For us, we have the later season hunt. So like for us, so like we usually plan about 3 hunts a year as a team. And we go to like a place where we hunt. And anyway, the last hunt coming up, it takes place the week before gun, and we split it in half. So we'll go Wednesday, which is archery, through Monday or Tuesday, Monday being opening day gun. We'll do 2 days of gun and go home, whatever. So we're there like a solid week pretty much. And this year I'm using a pistol for gun hunting, which I'm very excited about.
Yeah.
Ruber Super Red Hawk, 10 millimeter. Nice. So I shot this thing. Tim, you weren't there. I shot it at like, I first started 20 yards to make sure that I had a burst scope on it to make sure it was going to hit. And it was dead on from just the first shot. Never shot it before. I put the scope on, dead nuts, 20 yards. I backed up to 50, dead nuts, backed up to like 75, dead nuts. And it kept hitting. I was like, wow. So that was it. I was like, I'm done. Washing it, clean that thing out, get it ready to go. So exciting.
Yeah, just something different. You know, you could be out there with a rifle, but hey, take a handgun.
Yeah, different for sure.
You got
it. So I got a funny, not a funny story, but a story. So I was at a archery club. I don't even know how you describe this place. It's a, you might actually know it, actually. It's called Rising Phoenix, but it's like an archery learning center in Rochester, Michigan. So I'm in there, and my kids have classes on Sundays, and they go and they learn proper archery and all that stuff. I mean, I'm okay, Hunter. I'm not like the proper archery kind of guy. I'd rather have a target guy showing them how to do everything because they're going to get it down. So anyhow, I'm in there. Yeah, right. I'm in there. And so Jamie and I are sitting there. We're like, man, it'd be kind of fun to get into this, you know, like maybe shoot a little more. We don't really do target, you know, so we're like, we should really learn about this. So I get up and they have all these bows on display. So I walk over there and I'm like, what are these? Like, you know, because I'm not used to seeing all these things. And it's a company called Galaxy. So then I'm like, I never heard of this before, you know? So I Google it and it comes up Lancaster, everything all over it. And I'm like, what is this? So is this something you guys do direct or how's this work?
So this is a brand that we started, you know, Rob Caulfield, he is the founder of Lancaster Archery since 1983. And this guy just lives, eats and breathes archery. So he had it in his mind where recurve is his first love. Recurve, that's what he loves more than anything. He wanted to have some recurve bows that were not, you know, top shelf nor bottom shelf. Something that was affordable, but still real good quality that you could get someone into archery and they're not coming in with equipment that's gonna hurt them, you know, not hurt them physically, but it's just gonna hold them back from being able to achieve. So he developed this line, you know, with our guys there of this Galaxy line. We have all different price points. There's stuff for bear bow, there's stuff for Olympic recurve, there's stuff for traditional bow hunting, just all different kinds of recurve archery. I think we even have, we got some longbows in there too. And it's just this line that we have where we have different price points. That was our key to it, was to have something that people could get into and still have quality equipment, paying basically whatever they can afford. There's something in that price range.
No, you got that right. I'm looking on your website right now, and not only are they pretty cool looking, they are good price points, no doubt.
Yeah, it's really good stuff in there. There's a good one. I mean, that's a great Olympic recurve riser there for $250.
Yeah, you know, it's unbelievable.
You can pay $1,000 for a recurve riser only. Remember, you still got to put limbs on that thing.
Right.
The one thing I noticed, the grips are a lot, you know, different between them, because I was looking at them too, because they had a whole bunch up there. It was really impressive. And they're right. The prices were all over, right? They started super low. And everywhere. I think this might have been the most expensive one they had, but it was pretty cool. And, it's interesting because it's almost like, what's the word? A la carte, right? Because I think you buy this, right? Yeah. Then you buy the limbs separately.
And there's different levels of limbs. Okay, you just spent $250 on a riser. And do I want to spend $200 on a set of limbs, or can I get something low? So I believe for that one, we have our bronze, silver, and gold level limbs. And they're just different categories, different price points again.
Yeah, it's so cool. I was blown away when I saw it. I was like, wow, this is Lancaster? I'm like, this is one of the coolest things I've ever seen. Because I remember thinking, like, you know, I just never knew that, like this right here, right? I never knew that you guys had this. And I was kind of depressed in my mind I didn't know this, because I was like, you know, this is the kind of stuff that is really amazing. And, you know, kudos to Lancaster, because this is the kind of stuff that gets people into archery. Like, having these price point options for people, I always thought it was just like Mission and Bear, and I didn't realize there was something like this. Even I want one of these. I was looking at it going, which one should I get? Like, this is a great deal. And
I'm not talking because I'm shopping right now.
Well, I'm just saying, I was like there and I'm like, man, I kind of want to buy one from these guys just because it's fun and support them and all this. But like, at the same time, I'm looking at it going, this could be a lot of fun to like just come out here and just let arrows fly in the recurve style. And
yeah, let's say an Olympic recurve setup. There's a lot to that. You know, when you get your riser, your limbs, your sight, you're going to have three stabilizers pretty much for that. You know, and then your arrows on top of that. There's a lot that goes into Olympic setup. So what if you want to try it? You know, that was kind of Rob's thinking, was there's got to be a way to get these people into it without having to pay $2,000.
Okay, yeah. So here's a question for you. What about somebody that wants to try it? Let's say they're shooting compound. They're a 60-pound shooter when it comes to a compound bow. What would you think would be a good equivalent to that when it comes to recurve?
It's always great to watch people come in and have the compound draw weight mindset and try to apply that to recurve. And then they realize, hey, whatever that 60 pounds is, that's what I'm holding at full draw.
Yeah, no doubt.
That's a different game. So, I mean, honestly, you know, Brady Ellison, one of the best Olympic recurve archers in the world, I believe his draw weight is like 38, 39 pounds. He might be low 40s, but he's 38 to 42. He's somewhere in there. And that's one of the most advanced guys in the world. So probably in the like 30 pound range is probably going to be good. Now, unless you're hunting, that's a different, you know, that's a different game. You're only got to shoot. You really only have to shoot once. And there's going to be minimums. Pennsylvania, you got to have at least 35 pounds for it to be suitable for hunting. So that's a different, you know, one shot, yeah, you can probably do 50 pounds. But, you know, if you're going to be shooting target where you may have to shoot 60 arrows in a row, you know, that would be a tall task.
Now, with these bows, like the Galaxy Aspire recurve, do you shoot like you probably can do either one, but I just asking from a don't know anything. Is this like a aluminum arrow? Or is this a carbon arrow? Is this a wood arrow? What kind of arrows and feathers? Are we talking like feathers, vanes?
Same thing. There's going to be options for both of carbon or aluminum. You know, one of the most popular recurve arrows in competition is the Easton X10, which is an aluminum carbon combo. So you're going to have options for both in that. Black Eagle makes a great arrow that a lot of recurve archers use that's 100% carbon. and then for fletchings, a lot in competition, a lot of those people are using a special kind of vane. It's not a feather, special kind of vane made out of stuff called mylar. So it is a synthetic, it's not a feather. It's more like, you know, blazer, except designed for recurve. It's a lot thinner, it's a lot more flexible. So for competition, those folks are using that. Now, a traditional archer, they're probably most likely going to use a big 4-inch feather. Just because of the rest that you use for recurve shooting, whether you're shooting off the shelf or off of a rest, you have to have some forgiveness there. If you use one of those stiff compound vanes, as soon as it hit the riser or the rest, man, you'd get a kick.
Is it true that the vane, the index vane, if it with a feather, goes towards the riser? Does it go through?
No, the index goes away from the riser.
It still goes away. Someone told me it goes through and it like closes it. That's why it's a feather when it goes by.
I mean, it would, if it's a feather, it would fold, but you're not going to want to shoot it that way.
Okay.
It'll be set up.
So funny story though, so I don't know if I should shoot one of these because back a long time ago, back in, I would say 2011, Carbon Express had sent me a whole bunch of those traditional arrows they had at the time. And he's two dozen of them to be precise. And I went up to the local archery range. They had a longbow night, or whatever you want to call it, recurve night, and bring your wife, blah, blah, blah. So my wife and I go up there, and you might actually know MJC, Jim Morrow.
Oh, sure.
He's huge. I mean, this area, he was very, very big.
Absolutely.
So anyway, we go out there, and we're firing, and I'm like, Jim, you know, I never really done this. I'm just used to compound, and I swear to you guys, I broke almost all of those arrows. It was probably the most expensive night I had paid for those arrows. I kept hitting the wood, like on the target systems, like the wood, or it like skipped the ground, and it was terrible.
It's
dangerous.
That's definitely the highest learning curve, is to become proficient with a recurve in a bare bow setup, no sight. I mean,
yeah,
that's something else. Which is
who's the guy who does it? Tim Wells. who does a compound with no sight.
Tim Wells does that. Yeah.
Crazy.
He's one of those guys. There's a barebow guy around here. His name's John Demmer. He holds every recurve for barebow archery that's out there.
Wow.
And so even him, like I said, you know, world record holder and everything, you can go to a tournament and he can shoot a two or a three. It happens, which is one of the cool things about barebow competition is anything can happen. You yeah. know, you get into the compounds and if they're missing the 11, it's like, oh, I'm done. I missed one.
Yeah, no, it makes sense. So, what'd you think of the Levitate? I didn't have a chance to shoot it yet. What was your thoughts on it?
So I really liked that bow. That was one of the best performing super lightweight carbon bows that I've ever shot. And I, to be honest, personally, I usually don't like a super light bow, but as I mentioned in our review, John Dudley said, "Hey man, this, don't weigh this thing down." He's like, "It's meant to be shot light." And so I set it up and I put a 8-inch stabilizer, a 5-pin sight on it, a drop away rest. And that full setup weighed 4.8 pounds.
Wow.
Fully set up. I was like, whoa, that's incredible. That's light. And then, okay, all right, it's super light. How's it shoot? I went out on the range. Out to 50 yards, I had, you know, one-hand groups. So it wow. just shot incredibly. It did everything. You know, Dudley put a lot of effort into working with PSE to fix some things and get some things right. And it's awesome. And, you know, there is that place for that. The guys who hunt at high elevation. I know I went hunting one time in the Arctic where it was minus 40. And I did take a carbon bow for that just because it's impervious to those temperature changes. So they have their place. Yeah, they're expensive, but they have their place. And with this Levitate, I feel like PSE really, that's a great bow.
Yeah. What's this one cost? 2000?
It's the retail is $1,899. So
it's not bad.
Yeah.
And what's the Hoyt carbon, like 1700?
I can't remember the RX5. It should be around there, 1600, 1617, somewhere in that range. Yeah. Which that was a great bow too. It's a little bit heavier, but that was a great shooting bow. You know, Hoyt, I felt like really took a step back into relevance last year with their new cam system. That cam design and the way it shoots, it just did away with the quote unquote Hoyt hand shock. It just went away. So I really liked last year's Hoyts. I haven't seen this year's yet, but the 21 Hoyts, they were awesome. The carbon and the aluminum, they were awesome.
Yeah. Interesting how they added the Picatinny systems on it. Super excited about that. Cause I thought, man, it's really innovative idea. And like, it's just interesting to me that when you shoot all these bows over time, it's like unbelievable to me that these companies can still innovate and come up with ideas. Like you're like, you think like, how much more stuff can you do to this thing? You know, it's like,
what the heck?
And yet they still do it. It's crazy.
I'm like, it's just something different, you know, a different way to mount the sight. Why not? That makes sense. Just like, you know, we had the integrate rests, Matthews, PSE, Hoyt does it now. They all have an integrate option so that, you know, you just clamp your rest onto the back there and it's super solid. So yeah, they're doing lots of stuff.
Does this mean the Levitate then becomes the most expensive carbon bow in the market or the most expensive compound bow? Because I think it does.
I don't know. That Matthews Monster is still.
Oh, I forgot about that.
2000 something bow.
You're right.
That's still that's not a carbon bow, but. That one is over 2000.
I forgot all about that bow. In fact, because that's like a custom one, right? Didn't they have like a safari as well at one
basically
time?
It's the Monster Matthews Safari. It's the same bow. And yeah, it's basically custom made, but yeah, I don't that. I don't know. I don't know if I've ever seen one. I don't know anybody who owns one, but there's people out there who want them.
But can you, and I'm going to put you on the spot for a second, but can you name one product or one category of products that you're most excited about?
I'm going to say I'm a release guy. I just like seeing the different ways that people are creating these releases. I think releases are getting better and better and better. And when I say that, I mean all of them. I mean the wrist strap, index finger releases, the thumb buttons, the hinge, back tensions, and then the true tension activated releases. We've got really good releases in all categories there. So anyway, I'm really excited to see, you know, you can get to a point where you think, you know, these releases now, they're just gimmicks. But you're seeing some people come out with some stuff that's just really catching your eyes, you know? Jake Major from Cobra came out with that Cobra Harvester. I mean, as a thumb button, that's a great thumb button release. That thing's awesome. Yeah. Super light. It works great. UltraView came out with their hinge release. And, you know, just it's a unique hand design. It just fits people a certain way. There's something for everybody. You know, it used to be that, hey, there was two or three back tensions and you just had to make it work. Whatever it was, it had to work for you. But now there's so many options in the release market with so many features and adjustability and ways you can customize it to you. I'm not surprised that we keep seeing little different new things every year in the release market when you would think it's a trigger for a bow. What else can you do?
Yeah. What can you innovate more, right?
How you change that mouse trap.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you see Cobra's bow sight? The radius?
The radius. Is that the one with the unbelievable pins? They all move in a line. They move. Yes, I did see that.
Sight the one, everything comes. It's unbelievable.
Yes.
I was like, I'm like, Jake, what the heck are you doing with this? Like, are you going to be a sight company or you should sell this to somebody? This thing is awesome. Yeah. Like, holy cow.
Yeah.
It is legit, man.
Yeah. Innovator. That's interesting. Yeah, for sure.
That's really, really something.
We're not done.
Yeah, there's a lot more to come. So appreciate you coming on and thanks for doing it. I see that you guys are creeping up on this 100,000 on YouTube. So I wish you guys the best of luck getting there. 73.6. You get to 100, you get the diamond. That's what I want is so bad.
our video producer, he has said when we hit 100,000, he's like, that's mine. The plaque you get, that's mine. I'm keeping it.
I want it right here. I'm trying to find ways to come up with, like, really, you know, the one thing on YouTube we've been playing with a lot, and I recommend it for you guys too. You might already be doing it, but the shorts, that's like a way to really, I guess, bump into a different area of like new people and allows you to grow. We grew a couple thousand from the short videos. But again, it's like, it's so hard, I feel like sometimes, you know, to get like that right. It's all like a mix, right? You're going to have the video, but it comes down to a lot of specific things on how you edit it, but also how you make it where it's going to be, you know, double click. Like, people are going to share it and people are going to, there's a lot to it, man. It's exciting though. It is exciting.
We did a video this year where we were having a customer appreciation event and we designed this steel target challenge where we got these four steel targets, you know, with a hole in the middle, and we had all these great prizes. And so we had a day where people were just going to come out and, you know, shoot these steel targets, wreck some arrows, blow them up. So to kind of announce this event, we had an in-house LAS steel target challenge that we videotaped. And that thing blew up. It's got like almost 300,000 views or something.
Crazy.
So just
that's a new one. Stuff. That's not even been on that long.
No, that was just this year. Yeah. So it's just fun stuff like that. People really liked it. It was cool.
That is really cool. So if you hit the center, you're good. But if you hit the outside, it's metal.
Your arrow's toast. Yep, it is steel.
That sounds that is fun.
I like that.
It is. It is gone. And we, so with that video, we had hundreds and hundreds of people come out. And it was funny. If you stood outside, anywhere outside the shop, all you heard all day was just bang, bang. And you just knew, oh, man, there goes another $20 right there.
That is so awesome. So, all right, PJ, thanks so much, man. Lancaster Archery, right. Get online, get some bows from these guys, buy a Galaxy, get some kids outdoors, very important. So thank you, sir. We really appreciate coming on, and we'll see you soon.
We appreciate you guys, everything you do. Thanks for having me on.
This has been a presentation of bowhunterplanet.com. Join the hunt.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.